Ladies and gentlemen, ATDF Everything in That Shelf presentation.
You're now rocking with TDF Everything. Spoiled Rotten.
Alert.
Welcome and welcome back, everybody.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's me, Daniel.
And this is Ben.
On Spoiled Rotten.
No, my HL.
Boom. Yeah, this is another one we're recording in 2023, but will be released in 2024. So if we don't mention something or whatever, that's why. It's,
yep.
We're recording in the future or in the past.
We are recording on the day that the finale released, so... Yes, further adding to that.
That is important that yeah. I haven't been able to watch everything twice. So
yes,
it's kind of whatever first I takes. Remember is what, yeah, this is real, real first takes, even though it'll come out at a time where you would have assumed we would have time to deep dive. We haven't.
Yeah.
We are trying to bank some episodes. All right. Well,
so treat this like a movie review because usually we don't get a chance to watch those twice.
Yeah. So this is What If Season 2. Yeah, we don't give a number rating on this. We just kind of rank the episodes, but we will go through the episodes one by one, and then at the end, rank them ninth to first. But yeah, I think this season, I don't think there was anything like that Doctor Strange episode where I just didn't like it. I think all the episodes for me were fine to good. And I think there's only one where I feel like, oh, that was just fine. I think everything else I liked. So it felt like a more consistent season than the first season.
But, yeah.
Also, you'll notice a trend when I'm ranking that a lot of the stuff that involved Captain Carter, not necessarily Peggy Carter, worked for me.
I think what worked for me was expecting a little bit more of what to expect in this season, knowing right. that they are actually connected in some background mm-hmm. way, versus the first season was just like, all right, are these actually one-offs, or oops, surprise, no. It did tie together in the end, yeah. and all that kind of stuff. So knowing that was gonna have an eventual build-up, and then the small little teases throughout the season too, with like mm-hmm. Supreme Strange dropping, like it really, really helped me be like, all right, cool, I could treat this as its own little multiversal story, so to speak.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it, is that I knew, okay, this all connects. It's not one-offs at all. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you think an episode is a one-off, it isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, yeah, like they brought back a lot of people, which I found interesting.
I did too.
Like, there was obviously the, you're not going to get Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans back. That's a given. But mm-hmm. like, they got the girl who played young Hope Van Dyne to come back and voice young Hope Van Dyne again. And I was mm-hmm. like, all right, like, I'm not saying like, wow, what a get, but it's more like, I'm glad that they actually reached it. And like the son of Carl Kanai, who played T'Chaka in the beginning of Black Panther, is still T'Chaka in this. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, good. I'm glad that they weren't like, those are nobodies, we can do whatever we want. I'm glad that they were like, if we can have consistency, we will.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is a lot of fun seeing a lot of, like, one of the things is every episode, I do not want to do the skip intro thing because I'm like, genuinely, I want to know who's voicing this
episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely glued to Jeffrey Wright and who's next.
Like, yes, absolutely. It's like, Haley Atwell. Yeah, another one.
We did it, guys. So the first episode is What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps?
Okay. The MCU Blade Runner.
It is very Blade Runner-ish, down to some of the vehicles. It's the MCU noir, mm-hmm. but in space. So yes, Blade Runner. I liked the team they put together for this. I thought yes. like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that's an interesting grouping. Mm-hmm. And I think Karen Gillan is very locked into Nebula. So like, anytime she gets to be front and center, like she was in the T'Challa Star-Lord one, like I'm like, yeah, I'm enjoying her riffing on the Nebula character. So I don't really have any negatives to say about it. I thought like, wow, yeah, this is a solid what if. That's the other thing. I think we'll obviously get to it, but the episode that I didn't like love, and it's not to say it was bad. I liked, as I said, I liked all of them. It didn't, the one that I was like not so hot on was the one where I was like, this doesn't really feel like we're taking advantage of the what if scenario. It just feels like this could have happened in
Yes.
the universe we are watching. Like it didn't, but it just feels like it could have. It doesn't really mix together cool things or like this, as I said, like Nebula, obviously she's worked with Groot, but like Howard the Duck, Korg, like it was just a cool grouping that they put together for this. Bringing Jude Law into it, I don't remember, Yon-Rogg, I guess is his name, but like
Yes.
it just felt like, oh yeah, like let's reach out and like put different things from this universe together. And so I thought that was a strong opening. And like Yondu isn't in it because they're solving his murder, but I like that she gets to wear the fin and use the arrow and stuff. I like keeping that stuff up.
Yeah, the there's a lot in here that's really, really good too, and I like that in this episode, the what if, like, what if whoever plays the Glenn Close character, because that's like,
Right,
I
'cause she's
like
Nova
that
Prime.
exactly. I
I
like the
mean,
Nova
it
Prime.
isn't Glenn Close in this, but yeah, the Glenn Close character, yeah.
Yes, I like the Nova Prime like backhanded deal with like, all right, this is the lockdown, and this is what we're gonna do, and all the politics behind that. I was like, oh, okay, this is actually interesting right now. This is really, really cool, and it ends up being like Nebula being, and I like, I don't remember which officer it is, but it's the same guy that plays him in the actual
Peter
show.
Serafinowicz, yeah.
Yeah, that guy, he's like always kind of a dick, being just kind of, well, again, a dick to Nebula and how
Yeah,
she's got
they
to
just
kind of
commit
fight
to
for
him
that
being
kind
a
of
bad
thing.
guy, and you're like,
Yeah,
good. I'm
in
glad he
every
gets
iteration of him,
comeuppance.
he's
Yeah.
just a bum.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I say it was a good start because I was like, wow, like this is probably not their favorite episode and they're starting with this, so like this is a good sign because I was just like, wow, like obviously I'd only seen one, but already my favorite of the season. Like this is really good. I guess the next one, or did you want to talk about this one more?
No, the next one is what if Peter Quill attacked Earth's mightiest heroes? And I'm just like, is this the episode that you're talking about? Like, it feels like this could have just happened because it just needed Yondu to basically be a dick as opposed to the nice heart of gold kind of gangster that he was in the end of it.
No, this wasn't the one. This one, I think, what I like about it is it's still making use of characters that we didn't get to really do, like having Mar-Vell be the leader. Well, she isn't by the end of the episode, but like having Mar-Vell, Hank Pym, Bill Foster, like these characters that we knew on the periphery of the movies, but they get to like be front and center. I think my problem with this episode was more, I wish it was just Earth's Mightiest Heroes in the 80s. Like I didn't think it was a great deployment of Peter Quill. I thought like it should have, if we were doing that, it should have been way more focused on Peter Quill from his point of view instead of like, I understand the fun of having the 80s people, like 80s era Avengers, but it was like the name is misleading because it's like he isn't attacking. And like that's pretty clear from the beginning. And then you're just kind of like, well, we're spending all this time with the 80s Avengers, so I wish it was just about them instead of just like the team. It sounds like a nitpick, but it was what kind of. And this isn't even the episode where I didn't love that much. I really liked, as I said, all the characters like T'Chaka, Bill Foster, all those people being on the same team. And you get to see them do their thing throughout while they're trying to work to get Peter Quill. And as I said, young Hope Van Dyne connecting with Peter. It's just, I was like, what? Well, they're doing the whole he's mad at his dad for killing his mom thing, but we like. I don't know. Like he's too, not he's too young for that to be a thing. It's just more that feels more pertinent when we've had a grown up longing for their dad and then having that problem,
Mm-hmm.
and other than like shortening that arc. But again, I didn't hate this episode. It just wasn't in the top for me, but I still liked what I thought was new about it, which was focusing on those 80s eras, or even how they worked Bucky in and having Howard be like, "Hey, I interrupted your comms, by the way. I know what you're here to do, and I'm just here to talk you down from that." And talking to him about Steve. I think, yeah, much like in the movie MCU, anything to do with Steve and how people around Steve talk about him is interesting to me. So that still worked for me, but it was more the Peter Quill aspect of it.
Yeah, the
Because I'm like,
Peter Quill
what if it was
aspect.
just ego fighting them? That would be interesting. Because they still do technically fight ego in this.
Yeah, and it's basically that because it's just like he doesn't really snap out of that like possessive kind of aspect of him until he kind of like, oh, has that realization, you killed my mom kind of deal. And I do agree with you 100%. Him as like I don't want to guess the age, but like well, let's say an early adult for all intents and purposes,
He's
Peter
in his
Quill
30s in like
is it
Galaxy Guardians.
30s?
I think he's in
Oh,
his
okay,
30s,
good.
yeah.
So yeah, to have that level of separation, that time away from it, and all of a sudden to get it back in such a great way, and to have that the complex feelings are so much better in Guardians tool too. I agree. It does do this episode its service, kind of like how it's like, oh, Hawkeye's first movie was really like not Avengers, because like during Avengers he was brainwashed halfway through it, like through the majority of it. It is one of those things where I'm like, all right. I kind of wish we did get to see a little bit more of Peter Quill, that's teenager back
Since,
on Earth, you
yeah,
know,
like
like
since that's
would
the
he
expectation
enjoy a
set by
few
the
things?
name. Like
Exactly.
if it wasn't set, if it wasn't the name, and I understand they're paying off season one. Like he was
Yes.
set, but even then, I'm like, well, they kind of set him up to be a villain. Like, oh, I'm an all-powerful villain that maybe needs to get talked down, but he's pretty much just like, I just want to hang out. Like,
Yeah.
and have fun.
He's kind of like a Loki in that sense. He's like, no, I just want to chill. That's
Yeah, I'm
it.
not here to kill anyone.
Yeah.
I got sent here, but like he's like at the fair playing by himself, not harming anyone.
Yeah, he maybe just wanted to be left alone a little bit too aggressively, but
Yeah.
he's ultimately just like chilling out. He's playing fair stuff. He's not dominating the world or anything like that.
Yeah. So I
But yeah,
think
Avengers
that's
in the
where this fell
80s.
apart for me, but as I said, it's not the episode that didn't fully work for me. It's just since we're ranking, I have to give justifications for the ranking.
No, that's fair. It's more than fair. Because right, that is the one thing. I'm just like, oh, they really just sidebarred Peter here
Yeah.
a lot.
For characters I was interested in, but like still the naming construct is kind of like you only have the like the 30 minutes here, so like you're setting an expectation with the name, and then it's kind of like, oh, I guess we're not doing that. Do you have anything else to say about this episode?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. Perfectly summed it up.
What if Happy Hogan Saved Christmas?
Die
This is
hard.
definitely the one where I was just like, this genuinely could have just happened, and then no one ever brought up that Happy Hogan turned into the freak. Like that, it's not like a new grouping of characters. It's just the Avengers from like the first Avengers movie era. So like no black people, but like. It's, I was just like, I don't know, like, why we did this. But, it, like, again, it's not like it's a terrible episode. There's fun parts. If you like Die Hard, obviously there's Die Hard to it. I like when Justin Hammer is trying to tell people his story was the story from A Christmas Story.
That was good. That was really, really good.
Like, it is, and it's the original six, so, like, there's fun stuff. Like, I like Black Widow as well. I think that also came out for me during watching the this What If season of me being like, yeah, I just like the way they write what I like the way they write Black Widow overall. Like obviously we've talked about the issues in her early appearances, but like they got into a groove where I was like, yeah, I enjoy this character. So I like that they did the play on her answering a phone while she's taking care of business again. But I was like, yeah, like we've seen this and they're just doing it again and not like there's no fun spin on this for me anyway.
Right, yeah, the fun skin is the spin is just like
It's
and this is
Christmas.
by this episode I was thinking like are they really just redoing 80s movies plots within this
Right.
whole season? Because it really genuinely felt that way to me right now by this point. So that it started like having some questions to me because I'm like, okay, I guess this is a more cohesive theme to this season.
Could be, yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, maybe the fun is just doing Die
Catching those
Hard.
references, yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun. I did
I
enjoy
think
it.
it's fun. I think that it was fun even hearing Jon Favreau's like voice acting from like happy to the freak. Like I'm gonna keep saying it, I guess. I didn't think it was a bad episode. It was just for me, didn't feel like we were fully embracing the what if of it all.
Yeah.
It felt like, I mean, this could have just happened. I don't know. Like this doesn't really feel like we are taking advantage of being able to do whatever we want.
No, you're absolutely right about that. This to me was just like, all right, let's have some fun. It's the eve before Christmas, and let's just give people a good night's sleep. That's what it felt like, fan service to me. It's not a bad thing, but you're
Yeah,
right,
'cause I
this
guess
has the
people wanted
least.
Justin Hammer back and stuff, which was good.
Yeah, he
Sorry,
does.
I cut you off.
His character is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
It is a lot
I
of fun, and
agree.
to see him be like Alan Rickman's character in that, to do that
Yeah,
final
even
fall
down to
thing.
how he falls, but then the freak catches him and stuff. Yeah,
Yeah.
if you like Die Hard, I could see this being a very strong episode for you. And I'm not saying I don't like Die Hard. I just, if we're doing what if, like it's part of why the animation works that you can do whatever you want, really, and not
Yes.
feel as constrained by budget.
Absolutely. And you can get a whole bunch of people voiced in, and it's just like, oh, we don't have Robert Downey Jr. that day. Don't worry, we got someone
Yeah.
else. We got Mike Wingert. Or
Yeah, Mick
Mick. Mick
Wingert.
Wingert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Josh Keaton is Steve. But yeah, I because I say like Jeremy Renner is in this one. Like, did he have like one line? Like
He didn't have a lot to do here, which is why I'm like, oh, they must have got him in to do multiple episodes in the same shooting day with the same
But
voiceover
is
day,
he
which
in any?
makes a
I
lot of
guess he
sense.
is. Is he any other episode?
I think he is.
Okay, I'll just trust you. As we said, I only went through it once. I didn't get to rewatch anything. But yeah, obviously Thor comes at the end, but he's basically throughout this season. Like, so I can see Chris Hemsworth just being like, "Oh, what do you need for this one? Okay, great. Like, let's go to the more meaty episodes for me."
very much.
What if Iron Man crashed into the Grandmaster?
Now,
Now
this episode
this
was fun.
apparently was a season one episode, but I do,
Really?
yeah, this was,
Huh.
that's why they have like a previously on, and that's why like the Watcher is so like, hey, remember Gamora? But anyway, like this is the
Right.
Gamora
That
story,
makes sense. That makes
technically,
sense.
not really because it's the Tony Stark story, but she's in it. And that explains why she is where she is when you see her in season one. This is what we cut out. I love this episode. I thought it was so fun. Anytime Jeff Goldblum can do his thing, Rachel House, that pairing is great to me.
I forgot about the
What's her name?
Rachel House
Topaz?
stuff. Topaz, yeah.
Yeah, Topaz and the Grandmaster are great.
They are great
Korg
together.
is back. Valkyrie came back. Like, there's some cool. I didn't love the Gamora voice acting, but the character and her interactions with Tony were good. I
Yes.
thought I like the throughout like when during so basically they go, I guess we haven't been explaining what happens in any of these,
It's
but
Mad Max.
yeah,
To a
it's
degree, it
big
is Mad
time Mad
Max.
Max. There's
Yeah.
chariot racing, like it is. Should we go back? No. When we rank them,
Yeah.
we'll go. Before we rank them, we'll go back. Sorry for doing this out of order, but we'll start now.
Yeah.
So this is Tony Stark. He goes out with the missile from, I was gonna call it X-23 for
Avengers.
some reason, from the first Avengers movie,
Yeah.
but doesn't come back down to Earth and gets kicked into Sakaar, and the Grandmaster knows him, which I didn't care, but they didn't really give a reason why or
Yeah.
how he cared. He was kind of just like, it's you. And I was like, they're going to explain something here, right? Nope. Okay. He just knows Iron Man. I mean, he says, like, you beat the Chitauri, but it feels like that wouldn't really mean anything to
And it
the
feels like it would be
Grandmaster.
too immediate for it to be. Well, I mean, who knows? Because
Well, you
the
said
based
time
on
works
that,
differently and whatever. Yeah.
I mean,
They
based
have
on
that
that, it could
out.
be
They have
that.
that out. But maybe it really was just like, oh, cool, you beat the Chitauri. But I just get the sense that Grandmaster doesn't care about that shit. Like, it
Me
doesn't affect
too.
him at all.
I feel like the only way it would be, and this is the cool thing about the Grandmaster, he's like he just wants to have fun, right? So he's basically putting on gladiator events
Wait,
and promoting the
he is
events and all that
also
kind of stuff. So
very
writing,
cruel.
yes, he is very, very cool. But him like writing, him being a promoter at heart, like a fight promoter at heart, I'm like, yeah, okay, he would care about the storylines, so the ability that it would be able to write hype up the crowd and all that kind of stuff. I can see that for
So
sure, whether
yeah,
or not it's genuine.
he puts Tony Stark into a chariot race, which is where he meets Valkyrie and Gamora. Is that where? Well, he's certainly Korg. And then he basically pulls the team together to be like, we can beat him. And he has the standoff with Gamora where it's like, she's like, I'm gonna kill you, and he's like, fuck you, I'm out. But then he overhears the Grandmaster being like, oh, Mojo Man, we gotta get him. He's like, he's not a good guy. And it's obviously eats at Tony, who has just done the whole, I actually did do the sacrifice this time in his timeline. And so he's like, okay, I gotta help out. I gotta fix this. And as I said, I liked that Tony was trying to get to the heart of what makes Gamora tick, and he kind of got there really quickly with Valkyrie. He's like, oh, you're drinking it during the day? Got it. I know what's up with you. So they know, it's not like they're best friends, but they connect immediately. Like, there's no real fighting going on there. She's just like, you got it, whatever, all right, I'll work with
Yeah,
you.
it's two toxic spirits getting along really, really
But
well. I
with
mean, like, this
Gamora,
is actually them leaning into his alcoholism and all that kind of stuff, which is
he
why I'm like,
flat out
yeah.
says demon in a bottle in this one.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, the Gamora thing to me was a bit more interesting because it's him trying to feel her out and asking her questions to for her to like the whole her so clinging to I'm the daughter of Thanos, and even the Grandmaster's like, that's what you want? Like, no thanks. Like, he called her a Muppet, but he was still like, you want to be called the daughter? It's actually better if you're a Muppet, but okay. And yeah, how he was like, hey, so what, Gamora, what is your deal? She's like, I'm a murderess. He's like, yeah, but like today, like after you've seen all this shit, what's your deal here? As he's trying to figure out if she has his back, the way the Watcher says at the end. I thought all of that was very interesting, and I like a good chariot race. However the chariots look, I'm always on board.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So yeah, basically they. Actually, the Grandmaster screws himself. His little stick
His
that melts
zappy
people just
jello
rolls and
melty
touches
thing.
him.
Yeah, that was
And
so funny.
I thought it was funny that he thought it was funny he was melting, because he does the I'm melting. I like this, actually.
It because they never really clarify, is there a way that they can bring him back? I assume no, but like it's
I'm
kind of
assuming
funny how
yes, because
like
he's not dead at the end, because they do like the mini post or mid credit scene where he's just like, oh, you're gonna need a bucket to scoop me out. Like, he's not dead,
Right. See, and this is
because
my
in the
thing.
movies he's dead, like, or sorry, people are dead when he does it, like they're goop and they're
Yes.
gone. But in this, he's still talking and like, yeah, just scoop me up, we'll be fine.
Fair enough. Because and this is the funny thing. I didn't know that there were post credits to this. The moment they started rolling credits, I'm like, okay, cool.
I think it's the only one that has a mid credit, but I could be wrong.
Really? Okay.
I could
But
be
I
wrong.
mean.
I just know that there is a mid credit where it's him in a puddle and talking to Topaz, like, yeah, just get a bucket. We'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
That's so funny. That's so funny. But yeah, he you're right. Iron Man does convince Gamora pretty quickly, like gets directly right in there. It's like, hey, we're just gonna turn this around and we're gonna get you to kill Thanos with us.
And she does, and then that's why she's got all of his weapons when you see her in season one.
Yeah, it's
And
kind of
that's why
great.
she's with Tony when you see her in season one. I mean, they still didn't really set it up, but I can see how if that was in season one, you wouldn't feel the need to know what happened in between last season and this season, because you'd be like, yeah, whatever. They hung out still.
Yeah, it's true. I guess they wanted to stick to the 9-episode season for last season. They're like, oh, we can just dump it off into this one. But
I think it was a money thing.
yeah, okay, fair enough. Next
But
episode is What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper?
another one I really liked because it was
Yeah.
Captain Carter related, but because they were basically It is a retread of Winter Soldier, but I like that it emotionally still works because it's not Steve and Bucky, it's Peggy and Steve, and Natasha's still there doing her thing, which I thought basically anytime anyone has like couplets with Natasha in it, it's really cool dialogue or fun dialogue, and I especially like Natasha and Peggy together. I thought that was a good pairing that we don't get to see in the movies. So like, while it's still pretty close, it's a very clear difference in how they're approaching this, and it is further exploring Peggy and Steve, which we don't get a lot of on screen in terms of them actually sorting out their relationship.
And I like that you pointed out the Captain America 2 thing, the Civil War thing, because
Winter Soldier.
the Winter Soldier thing. It's the interesting thing to me about it is that in that first beginning bit, when you have that interaction with Black Widow, there isn't that introduction of someone else that needs to king bring on that and carry the emotional burden like how Falcon does. It's just Haley Carter, because Peggy Carter is just completely adept at that already, right? So it's kind of great that you're just like, all right, we're just launching here, and there's no need to bring in another character, even though they could, but the which gives us so much more time with Peggy. And I love that. I love that about this episode. It's like, what if the emotional kind of tools were there already and they could just jump off? I think that's kind of
And I
great.
like the visuals of them going back to like the training ground for I know the Red Room's in the sky, but like whatever terrestrial training ground they had so that they can learn how to be more American, like just the creepiness of that and how they have to fight. And again, yeah, I understand that they're just doing Steve and Bucky, but it does feel still beneficial to see, especially as you said, like how stuff pays off later, that Peggy is going through this and being like, I think people are kind of like, this could be a trap. She's so like, no, this is Steve. And I was fooled by Steve too. I genuinely forgot, like, well, clearly he would just be playing her. I think especially because I knew of the Winter Soldier and how he does get through to Bucky. So I was just like, oh no, like she got through to him just quicker than Steve got through to Bucky. But
That's my
no.
assumption,
But
based on
no.
how fast Tony did to Gamora in the previous episode.
But she didn't. He brought her exactly where he needed to and played her really well. And so I just thought like, wow, like they're really going for the emotional stuff. And they brought back Rachel Weisz's character. I don't remember her name, but they brought her back and like just decided, nah, she's a full-on villain this time. She will not be helping. And I'm just like, this I appreciated that they did that. I thought that was fun.
Melina Vostokoff is her character
Yes.
in here, but I'm really glad that they brought back Rachel Weisz for this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought that they did all. I mean, this is the one where Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange take her, right? Okay.
And
That's the
it's
ending is
they call her
them being like,
Wanda Merlin, which I didn't know until now, and that's kind of cool because I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, that
well, that
would make
makes
sense
sense
around
for
that
the
point in
later episode.
time.
Yeah, for the later
Exactly.
episode, but yeah.
But they pull her and the same kind of like boxing room that Steve was in the first for the to get the first Avengers started, and then this is her like way of getting her Avengers started, which is really, really cool. But we find that out later because in the next episode we get, what if Kahori reshaped the world? And this was a really cool episode.
I really liked it, but to be clear, it sounds like I was about to be like, I don't really like it. I really liked this obviously they're creating a new character, whole cloth. And it just I think what works about this episode is the themes that we talked about in Quantumania of really being like, please stop looking away. Like, there's all these people that got abducted, and she's like, you could go home. Like, she is so focused that she's like, look, this is how we do it. And all these other people are just like, no, like, we got powers. This is just the thing, though.
Yeah, we're at
And
peace. Like, just like chill here.
she's like, no, we. So basically, we've jumped the gun again. But basically, Kahori is a Native American, and the Spaniards have invaded, and they're killing off the people. But there's also this river that basically everyone's like, you got to stay away from it. It's cursed. It takes people away. But she goes through it while she's trying to save her sibling. I don't remember if it's a brother or a sister. I'm assuming brother.
I want to say cousin.
No, they are siblings.
Oh, they are siblings.
At some
Okay,
point,
so
because they
it's a
refer to
brother
Kaori as
then.
that person's sister.
Yeah, then brother is
Okay.
would be my Aethrax. Arth Ather oh, God, I'm not gonna
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
that.
all I know is it's they're siblings, and
Yes.
she saves her sibling and goes through the river, gets her powers. Because of the time constraints, I was like, yeah, great. She just we already know how like motivated she is, so like she's figuring shit out. Great. And the more important message here of being like, guys, you it's not okay that you just hang out here. Like, there is a massacre happening. You can't just be like, this is, you got to give up your comfort to save people. I thought, yeah, it just really worked for me. I thought it was great. Visually, it was great, obviously, but I really like the message of this episode.
Absolutely. That sibling is Wata. I totally got that wrong. Aethrax is one of the guys in the village that you're
Okay.
talking about, that river.
Like on the other side,
Yeah,
yeah.
on the other side of it, that's like, hey, we're comfortable here. Other people have tried. Haha, you can't do this kind of thing. So, what I really liked about this episode was like it was starts off with, I think you forgot to mention this, after Surtur destroys Asgard during Ragnarok. So the Tesseract
Right, so
crash lands on
that's why the
Earth.
river is doing it. It's the Tesseract
Yeah.
power because it couldn't go wherever it went.
Yeah,
I
and
don't
in
remember where it went.
well, in America, whatever. So the thing that I thought was really, really cool about this is like, okay, killing off colonialism in some way, because if you go back to the episodes that we review, Thor and all that kind of stuff, we're heavily critical on the colonization aspect of Midgard and all that kind of stuff, and they talk about it later on too in the season, which I thought was really, really cool. But the destruction of that colonization, and then to reintroduce, and then to be like, listen, we got to do something. It was the coolest thing in the world, and I'm like, and the visuals, man.
Yeah, the
This is
visuals are
just
great.
such a cool. Every time she fights, it's the coolest thing. I'm like, just more of that. It's great, and I really, really like
I
this.
know the actress, I think her name's Devry Jacobs, is from she's from Reservoir Dogs. Nope, Reservation Dogs, that's what it's called. It's a great show. She's Canadian as well.
Yes, she is.
I'm like, oh, cool, like she can just be Kahori, but she's in Echo. I'm assuming based on the trailer playing Echo's mom, but I don't know.
So that's probably not going to work out, but
I mean,
I do hope.
MCU hasn't like recast or cast the same person. It's just
True.
we've talked offline about how I'm not a fan of that, especially like whatever. All I'm saying is I would love to see her in live action, obviously, and in a later episode they make it feel like she's definitely not just confined to this season of television.
I agree. I feel like
Like
this
I feel like
the way this ends is.
she'll be back, but yeah, I hope that actress gets a chance to play her because I think that actress is really strong and she's already in the MCU, obviously, as in live action, but who knows what will happen. I really like this episode. I thought it was great messaging and it looked beautiful. What if Hela found the Ten Rings?
Oh, this episode was
Unfortunately, we
great.
don't get Tony Leung back, but we do
Yes.
get Wen Wu back and Hela. And what I do like about this is you're real. I mean, I know it's not the same Hela, but you are getting way more of Hela's background and how she, like, she basically what happens in this one is instead of Thor getting kicked out of Asgard, it's Hela because I feel like that is definitely the question that's definitely the conversation they would have had, which is Odin's kind of like, I don't want to do this anymore, and she's like, literally, this is the only thing I do, so you're gonna have to make a decision. And then Odin's like, okay, I'm banishing you. But I like that she's like, look, I'm so power hungry because I need to feel some control here. It is different than Thor. Thor is just like, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be king. That's just the thing. Whereas Hela is constantly aware, and it's made clear in this episode, she's constantly aware she's never truly in control. She is at the whim of these men and people who are using her. So I appreciated that that was her driving force in this episode, and obviously makes sense why she does what she does in a later episode. But I think, yeah, I appreciated the deep dive on the character in this episode. I thought that was really well done, and I did like when we're just kind of being like, I mean, she's the enemy, but I want to keep her alive because, like, I just like her. Like,
I'm kind of into her.
like, I
Yeah.
appreciate that. Like, she
She's
knows what she wants. I know
different.
what I want. Like, this is
Yeah.
cool. And
Yeah.
everyone's
No,
kind of like, we got to kill her. He's like, I don't, no, I need her
no,
alive. I need,
Like, I'm just going to put her in a dress instead and have some
yeah.
tea with her.
So that was the thing. I like
Yeah.
that it was like, that's how that blows up is
Yeah.
her being like, oh, you're going to control me too. No,
Yes.
I'm not into this.
Every aspect of this episode is like, okay, these people really did deep dive into trauma and abusive relationships and really put it in the writing. It was very, very clear. Like, this to me, this is one of the best episodes from the psychological aspect. And then the whole naming of this episode was like very, oh, what if Hela did get the tech, like, because the way they set it up and just like, oh, it just says found, and like that's such a profound kind of shift in that ideology in itself. Because like obviously they do the whole Thor kind of thing. She
Try to
gets her
get her
helmet
helmet, yeah.
back and all that kind of stuff. Her crown, I should say. She gets the powers, and then she comes into like white Hela or whatever it is. And I'm like, visuals of that is freaking cool, and how she ends up doing what she does, and just like, no, this is what I'm gonna do. And then I love the idea of her being like, and what you did and have been doing to these nine realms has been bullshit. So I'm going to take eons to undo what you did. Speaking to Odin. And I'm like, this is great. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because this is what happens when you can give people the right kind of trauma treatments at the right time and really allow them and support and embrace what they want. Because it's like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? That whole thing where she's like being trained by the person in Talo. I'm just like, this is great psychological deep dive stuff. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that. She's like, okay, now you can begin when she gives the answer I said earlier. It's like,
Yes.
all right, we can go now.
It's like,
He's
oh,
like,
you want your freedom. You don't want to be controlled. You don't, you know, all
yeah.
that reactive stuff. And I love that detail that you pointed out when Wenwu's just like, no, I want to control you in some way. And she's like, nope, not
Nope,
having this,
I'm
bud.
out.
Yeah, and it's not until we can like respect each other as equals that we're gonna fight by side by side and all that kind of stuff. And it's a great episode because
Yeah, I like it a
the one
lot.
thing it does really, really good too is like highlight Odin during his dick days as like a conqueror and all this kind of
Yeah.
stuff. I'm like, yeah, you don't have a good personality with that kind of conquest. You're a
No.
dick. And it highlights it very, very well in this episode. This is a, and Cate Blanchett actually being Hela in this,
Yeah,
props all around.
I'm glad they got her back.
And here's the other thing too. When I saw Idris Elba, I'm like, man, they keep doing his character dirty, but he's
I don't think
a
he
team
like I
player.
feel like he's like I'll take your money but don't I'm not committing to anything. So I don't know how much it's doing his character dirty so much as like we really want to work with Idris Elba and him be like I will give you the bare minimum.
Well, that's how I feel. Like they're like he's very well aware of that situation. He's it feels like he's phoning it in compared to everything else. Maybe, I don't know, but like they didn't give him a lot to do in this episode
That's what
either, and
I
I
mean.
don't
Like, I don't
think,
think he's like, oh, yeah, like, I really want to work on this. I think he's
yeah,
like, I'll take the money. Yeah.
I very
Okay.
much agree with what you said. It's like, oh, this is him just cashing the paycheck and then being able to use his name as like, oh, I just was in this episode, and you're just
Yeah,
like,
because I didn't
well,
like
that's
I didn't
it.
know he was going to be in this season, but I was like, oh, great.
Yeah,
He's back.
and this
And
is like,
I'm
if I'm
glad
not
every time he
wrong.
comes back. I don't care if it's for like one word.
Yeah.
I know it's only like really one line here, like, oh, I can't see Hela anymore or whatever, but like I
Get
know
your
he says more
money.
than that. He says more than that, but it's like I was just like I'm glad that Idris Elba got his check.
Yeah, and I'm a huge props to him. He gets to phone it in, and you know, he's just making peace with it. It is what it is, and he's just getting paid. I
Yeah.
love that. I
Great.
love that. But I was surprised to see his name on the call sheet, so to speak.
Yes. Next is what if the Avengers assembled in 1602?
This
This
was a
really worked for me. This really
fun
worked for me. I
episode.
was just like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, one, I really like Robin Hood, so that all worked for me. I liked the deployment of Paul Rudd Ant-Man, obviously, we had the Hank Pym earlier, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. He loves Steve Rogers. But in this one, is it... This is the one where it's like Thor is the king, and he's like, oh, we gotta kill the, like... Basically, he wants to kill Captain Carter, right? Because he thinks Captain Carter's causing an incursion.
Well, because he... The thing is, like, Wanda summoned Captain Carter to come save, and then he's like, hey, you haven't done it yet, so it must be you. And I'm like,
he's like, this is like, he's like, they're very aware of incursions, this is jumping you right into incursions in this, and he's like, you brought her to fix this, it's not working, so maybe you get her the fuck out of here. And I basically love how everyone works in this, but like, I really like the Tony Stark of it all, that he's just like, hold up somewhere, and she's like, you can create something, right? And he's like, yes, I can. And I love that Bruce Banner is like the Man in the Iron Mask style, like, hit it, and then she just pisses him off to like get the guards going. And, like, I was like, this is great. All of this really works for me, and it feels like a true what if. And I understand that it's based on based on a Neil Gaiman run, but I didn't read that, so I don't know how close it is to it. I've seen people say they were disappointed in it. I can only assume that it's because they read the comic run with that same name. That
would be my assumption, too. But
this really worked for me. It actually felt like the most what if, because they're keeping some of the like continuity of this season, but it felt like what if we just had this in a completely different century? And, like, you get to see different interpretations of these characters. I thought that was really fun. One thing I thought was weird, though, was... And I didn't think about it until I was reading online people's, hot takes on the season. They're like, see, they just did a whole season without Sam Wilson. Specifically, they did, like, a whole episode where Steve Rogers has his Merry Men, and it's Scott Lang, not Sam Wilson. And I was like, oh, yeah. What the hell is happening there?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not something I noticed, but that critique is very, very... It's not good.
The only reason I think it works in 602 is because someone then commented maybe they didn't want to demote him back to Falcon in What If, even though he is Captain America in the MCU.
Fair.
Which is fine, but in this, no one's Captain America, so it felt like, this is... the perfect time to
Captain Carter is the Captain America. What I mean is,
no one's Captain America. There is a Captain Carter, but there is no Captain America.
Yeah,
and you could have Sam Wilson be part of the Merry Men.
Yes,
basically, that was the thing. So I was like, I guess that is a huge missed opportunity. But I still like the episode, so
it didn't bother
me that much.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a great episode, because one of the biggest details I loved about this is, like, whenever you saw anything with Loki in it, he's only interested in telling stories, which is interesting.
He's hilarious in this episode.
Yeah, he's great.
When he's like, Will asked me to be in this play about Iago. Mm-hmm. There's other characters, but it's really about Iago. Like, so you're talking about Othello. Great.
It's so good. And because the idea of him being obsessed with the stories and him now being the god of stories is such, it's a small little detail that I really like. Oh, good for them. That's just really good. Like,
He is
consistency in that regard.
Great in this episode specifically. I thought this really worked for me. Is this the one? Well, no, it definitely is, where they find out it's Steve Rogers who's causing the incursion.
Yes.
And I just like that. Yeah. Like, they keep pushing it of like,
they can't be,
this
together,
is where she's different. Yeah. This is why she's different from Steve, because Steve would have tried to find a way to keep Bucky. And what's interesting is she is like, I'm not really happy about this. And Steve is like, it's happening because this is the right thing to do. So together, they're a less toxic pairing together, because they aware of what's the right thing to do is.
Absolutely. And they do it. Absolutely. Like, when they're like, oh, I can't believe we're worlds apart and all this kind of stuff, and it's never the right timing and all, I'm like, I genuinely, that does suck for them, because you're right. Yeah. They're not a toxic couple, and I want to see that given my history, but it's just like the idea of like,
this is the right thing to do. This is what's happening.
Exactly. They're like, we're going to be adults about this. This is going to suck for both of us. Let's acknowledge that. Yeah, cool. Let's go do our jobs. And this is the great thing. And this, I love that this is the episode before the finale episode of what if
it's a true payoff to the,
like, exactly.
That, like, yeah.
It's to that point of what you said is like, no, this is why Peggy is different. She would make that sacrifice. She's like, the same sacrifice that Steve made, the same, like it, they have that same energy. And I do love any time that they do get together, because I'm just like, oh, they do have that same energy, which did suck more when I was like, oh, they're really turning on him. I mean, they're using Steve to really turn on her right now. I'm like, this really does suck a lot more, because they in every other version they're so good together.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I really like if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper, because I'm like, wow, like, wow, that's painful.
Yeah,
Really hurt. Yeah,
it's true.
I think obviously people's mileage may vary, but I'm truly invested in the like Captain Carter of it all, and how like it's different for her to be the one out of time
Yes.
instead of Steve. And honestly, I loved every time Bucky showed up. Which is the one where he's the president? I can't remember.
I can't remember that one either.
Is it? Is that the
That
Hydra
one
Stomper one?
must be.
I don't know. There's one where he's the
Because he jumps back
president,
into
and
the
I'm like, that's
future, right?
wild. Like,
Yeah,
that's
that is wild.
because I was like, wait, they said Sebastian Stan's. I'm like, oh shit, he's the old man president. Got
Yeah.
it. Got it. Okay. But even when in, I know I'm waiting on the last episode, trying to stretch this out. But even in the Peter Quill episode, when Peggy sees Bucky and she's like, that's fucking chilling. And Howard's like, yeah, whatever. But we know that's not Bucky, because Bucky died. And I'm like, you idiots. But like, I just like that you're getting all these beats that probably have similar reflections in the actual movies, but this is from Peggy's point of view, so it feels worth exploring again.
Absolutely.
But yeah, every time she sees Bucky or Steve throughout this season, that it's something she has to deal with. It's not just like, oh yeah, we're whatever. She's just kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. This really hurts. But yeah, that is the 1602. I thought it was great. I'm glad you reminded me of Loki. He's so good in this episode.
So
I
good
love
in this.
everything to do with what he does. Yeah, I guess that leads us to what if Strange Supreme intervened?
Yep. This was a wild ride of an episode.
So this is, I don't really know how it starts, but Peggy is basically, she's sad because it's at the end of 1602 episode, and she's alone. And then Strange comes and he's like, hey, I need your help. And I like that they set it up right away, that she's like, why isn't this something you're doing? And he's like, no, it's just better if you do it. Just go,
Yeah.
like,
It's like,
you
oh,
go
she'll see
get.
Kimmy coming from a while
And even the way he was
away.
like, even the way it was like, so who am I looking for? He's like, nah, you'll know, don't worry about it. I was like, this, I don't trust
This
this
is
guy. I don't
sus.
like this guy at all. Yeah, she's sent after Kahori, and I like that Kahori right away is just like, I know you're a good guy. Just I knocked you down so you can listen. I'm not here to hurt you. And I'm like, good. I'm glad we can get that out of the way right away. Because honestly, Kahori would have killed her if she actually had to fight. So she's like, look, this isn't a thing. We are on the same side here. He's trying to use you to get rid of me, and you shouldn't do it. And she's like, I don't know about this, but while she's thinking it through, Steve Strange is already like, all right, thank you. Got what I needed here. And that's when she's like, oh, you are the bad guy of this episode. And she's like, you're trying to rebuild your universe. And he's like, yep, I have to. And I like that, as we've alluded to many times now, Steve Strange's like, I picked you because you would understand that this is something that needs to happen. But we as the audience know, no, she just went through that and made the right choice. So no. You
She literally saved 1602,
yeah,
so it's
you got the wrong person here.
yeah, it's
You bet
it,
on the wrong horse here.
it's funny because like this version of Strange Supreme was like, oh, do I actually believe this narrative that he's actually like correcting his ways and not corrupted anymore and all that kind of stuff, given what he did in the first season to become Strange Supreme.
And then you're like, oh no, he's the bad guy.
Oh,
He's the bad
yeah.
guy from that episode where he ruined his universe.
Yeah, it was like they're kind of riffing on their own kind of multiverse of madness
Madness,
kind
yeah.
of movie, in the sense where it's like, oh yeah, it's like the bad person secretly, but the turn was way too slow in this one. But
Yeah, I mean, this was another one where I was like, this is technically good. I just like things more than this. Like one thing I heard beforehand was like, oh yeah, Killmonger will be back. And I was like, oh sick. And I was like, well, he is technically back, but not really. Like I feel like if Michael B. Jordan's not back, it's not really a thing. But I like how he's used in it when they're like, there's this, basically there's a sequence of, it's, this whole episode is Strange Supreme versus Gahori and Captain Carter.
Yep.
And there's constantly things happening and Gahori has to be like, because again, as the audience, we know she's basically all powerful, her being like, oh, I didn't do that. And then one of the times that that happens, it's because Killmonger, who took all the Infinity Stones, snapped and got rid of Thanos for them. Just so he could kill them as well. And then they, then Gahori uses her powers. She's like, that I did. And I'm like, good for you, Gahori. But yeah, they're just, it's like basically all in one room. They're fighting. And the good guys win, right?
The good guys win.
Yeah.
That's what happens. She starts a prison riot, and for lack of a better term, and she even says that herself. And it's just, it's a wildly, and this is what I like about What If. You can have all these wild, wild animations. You can do all these kind of crazy things and have all these wild. Because there's
like Gunslinger Loki at one point. This is cool. But I like when Doctor Strange, she's like, there's more of you or more of us than you. And he's like, yeah, that's the thing. There isn't. So then he does his multiple Doctor Strange thing. And she's like, oh, that's a good idea. Because she's got the Infinity Stones now. She's like, I'll just make a bunch of emails. Like, what a great retort. Like, that was definitely an opportunity for them to be like, oh, what do we do now? And she's like, oh, no, that's a good idea. All right, I'll do that then.
I think the thing to me that was kind of a little bit of a bummer about this episode, I'm like, oh, she's using the power stone a lot, like for like every single attack. I can't wait for her to try the other stones, and when she does, it ends up being really, really cool. But like, kind of wanted her to do something other than the power stone.
That I can at least chalk up to another thing I know you wouldn't like, is if she was really good at using everything at once, and if she was like, here's the one thing I know how to do, I'm going to just keep doing that to get me through this.
Yeah, she punches things. She did for the final thing. She punched them all with the gems in her hand, which is a cool thing. But I'm like, yeah, she punches things.
Yeah.
It's great.
I at least appreciated they were like, that it was something I would do. If I was like, okay, I know how to do this, like these two things, that's basically what's going to happen because I don't have time to think about this.
Yeah, her trying to use like the time stone or anything like that wouldn't have been great. But like, I like that she was like, oh, I can do this. It's like, yeah, and then Strange Supreme's like, I've been doing that forever. Yeah. Like, that's child's play to me. I'm like, that's great. Like, that's kind of justifies why she kept using the Power Stone. It's like, this is what I'm consistent with. Yeah. It's a small critique, but it's still on par with the writing.
I think it's fair to be like, if it's What If, why can't we just see more things? But to me, I was like, it felt reasonable to me that she'd be like, well, let me not try and figure this out right now. In the heat of battle. But I agree with you that overall it would have been cool to see her do more. That's, as you said, during the prison break, Hela passes off her helm or her crown, you're right to call it a crown, and Wenwu passes off the 10 rings. So like they have some callbacks, and obviously Hela, I mean, she's not white Hela. Like, it seemed like she was just bad guy Hela, but
yeah, that was bad guy Hela.
It didn't really matter. I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the play here. Obviously, I'd rather save myself than be killed.
Yeah.
I initially thought that it was the same one, but I realized it isn't. But it still makes sense that she would help out in that way. Those are the episodes. I guess we could just quickly, I think we already said that Nebula joins the Nova Corps as her trying to solve Yondu's death and realizing that it was all set up by Nova Prime.
Yep.
And she gets rid of them. Peter Quill comes to Earth. It's the plan from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's just, it happens quickly.
It actually happens.
Peter was sent straight to Ego.
Yeah, and Yondu does sell
he
the kid.
He's passing them off.
Sells a kid.
So then, yeah, the 80s Avengers have to stop him, including Bucky, who was sent by the Soviet Union. And I do like that they were like, yeah, this is an international issue. It's not just going to be Americans that care about this. So I thought that was cool and something not a lot of movies do when they're just like, no, it's just the Americans, they'll figure it out. I was like, no, this makes sense. It's in America, but there will be multiple nations that are involved, like Wakanda and the Soviet Union.
Because seeing T'Chaka in that was really, really good.
I like that a lot. Happy Hogan Saved Christmas.
Die Hard.
It's Die Hard, but the main beats are they tell you that Justin Hammer went to jail, just read up, figured out what he needed to do, and infiltrates and takes over Avengers Tower. He takes over the like sentries, I think they called them. I don't remember what they call them, but from Age of Ultron, those robots that they had that look like Iron Man suits, and Ultron. And then he's coming for the Hulk blood, which goes into Happy Hogan, and he becomes the Freak. There we go. I think that's explained all the episodes now.
That's basically it. It's a lot of fun.
You ready to rank these?
I am. Are we going top bottom
No, we're going
or
bottom to the
bottom
top.
top?
We're
Okay,
going
nice.
9 to 1.
You got it. All right.
All right. My number 9 is What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas? As I
Same.
said, it's not bad. I just feel like this could have just been a story. Like, it doesn't really feel like we're using what if properly here.
I agree. I agree. It's also my 9. I don't feel like Happy Hogan is the most compelling person to lead a story as a protagonist.
And
So that's
like, unlike other episodes, like, it really is about Happy Hogan. So you're just kind of like, oh, okay. Well,
Yeah, and
that's good
it's
for
kind
him,
of
I guess.
weird because at the end of it, it's just like, oh, you still kind of needed the Avengers to come in. So you
Yeah,
didn't, did you
obviously.
save Christmas,
Well,
Happy
he's the one that
Hogan?
calls them because they would have been all gone otherwise.
Yeah, fair, but I'm just like, did you
And he
save
does help Maria
Christmas?
Hill. He has that moment where he's like, "You said you're counting on me. That means a lot. So I got this done for you."
That's fair.
I do like the line. I forgot. I did like the line when, what's her name? Darcy.
Oh, yeah.
When Darcy's like, "Wow, you're like the best boss ever." He's like, "Wow, that means so much to me coming from someone who's had like no jobs." I was like, "This is that's some good writing right there." And great line delivery.
That is what I like about Happy Hogan's character, is like he gets those small little shiner one-liners, and it's that's all it that works for me, but it's just him as a protagonist like leading the thing. I'm just like, not enough. I'd be in line for a Paul Rudd movie first.
You have been in line for a Paul
I have been in
Rudd
exactly.
movie. All right, number 8 for me is What If Strange Supreme Intervened?
For me, that's Peter Quill attacking Earth's mightiest.
Yeah, so for me, it's good, but I think it has the same thing that happened at the end of last season for me, where I'm like, yeah, it's like a big fight, great. And I want more out of the what ifs, but I understand that they're doing a conclusion. And as I said, I like the season overall. So this wasn't like a matter of this sucked or this wasn't good. It's just, it didn't do much for me in terms of the wow factor. I was just like, yeah, I get it. We're gonna do a big fight, and I do. And we already talked about what I liked about it, but yeah, it's still 8 for me.
Fair enough.
And for
Yeah.
you, it's Peter Quill.
It is the Peter Quill thing. It's for all the reasons we talked about before. It's just the fact that I'm like, I kind of wish we did get to see a little bit more actual Peter Quill as opposed to possessed Peter Quill. And just them, I wish that they would have done a little bit more with the 80s kind of crew that they assembled. But I get why they wouldn't, because then it's like, oh, if you did that, then they wouldn't have the Avengers in the early
But they don't need to
2000s.
worry about that because
Exactly.
it's what if, and it's a different universe.
Exactly,
But
which is
anyway.
why I'm like, why not give him a fun team name? I wanted a fun team name. I really did.
Well, also, I didn't really like that Thor became the leader by the end of it. I was like, what the hell? How is he calling the shots? They're like, we have a team thing. He's like, okay, we'll get dressed then, team. We're going to do what I want to do. Anyway,
It's a disappointing episode for me.
well, Peter
Seven.
Quill is 7 for me.
Oh, yeah?
I really only liked the 80s Avengers aspect of it,
Mm.
which isn't fully served because they're doing the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 stuff.
For me, number 7 is the Nebula episode.
All right. Interesting. That makes sense. I thought it was going to be lower for you. I'm just glad it's this high for you.
Well, the reason why it's so high for me is because it finally made Blade Runner interesting to me because it was the MCU skins. But at the end of the day, I still don't like Blade Runner. No, I know. So I'm just all right, well, I know you don't like Blade Runner.
So I was like, oh, this is, it's got to be.
I know it's coming soon. It balances out pretty fast. The thing I do like about this episode, which we do get a little bit more of, is Howard the Duck. And that's always, that's a little fun thing to do. But there's a lot here that I'm just like, I agree. It was a strong start to the season. But to me, I'm just like, this is when looking at the whole season, I'm like, it's 7.
Number 6 for me is Nebula. What if Nebula? I think it's an episode I like, but I just like the other episodes way more. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say way more. I just like them more. Like, enough for this to be at 6 and me not feel bad.
Yeah. My 6 is the Iron Man episode and the Grandmaster. It's a fun episode.
Just a fun episode.
It had to be higher than the Nebula one, but it's just like, to me, does this carry it home the same way the other episodes do? No. Can't say it does.
Not for you. Number 5 for me is What If Hela Found the Ten Rings?
Very, very nice. My 5 is the Hydro Stomper.
I figured that's where that would go. I think I wanted more Wenwu, if I'm being honest. I think that's what's holding me back. As I said, everything from now on is something I wholeheartedly like. So this isn't a matter of things being bad. Everything I list from now is something that, if it was in any other season, would be number 1 to me.
Yeah.
If on its own. So this isn't saying this is a bad episode. It's just we're splitting hairs now, and it came down to, sure, Hela is the name on the tin, but it also said Ten Rings, so you're invoking Wenwu, and I wanted a bit more of that for myself.
Yeah, I hear you on that. For me, the Hydra Stomper one was just like, I just think it's the period for this one. It's just like, we spend so much time in it. It's brutal, and I don't like the actual Steve Rogers is not Steve Rogers in this.
You wanted him to be a good guy.
Yeah, that ripped my heart out a little bit.
Fair enough.
That's the only kind of critique, but like you, because I have so much fun with this season that it's like everything else is like slivers apart from each other, which is a great thing to have.
Yeah, I would say Nebula is like the demarcation line for me. Like that number 6 is like, I like it, but these are the ones that I'm like, I'm really into at this point. So yeah, your number 5 is Hydra Stomper.
It is Hydra Stomper.
My number 4 is What If Iron Man Crashed Into the Grandmaster? I think. Yeah, I really liked the time on Sakaar and Thor Ragnarok, and we went back there, and it didn't feel like a retread. It just felt like, oh no, we're actually going to spend time here and do a different story. Like, I got worried when they're like, oh, look at my champion, and I was like, oh, is it going to be Hulk? And it wasn't. I'm like, okay, we're doing something different. Great. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I liked his interactions with Gamora and Valkyrie a lot.
My number 4 is Kahori. Love this episode. Hated reading subtitles the entire time. Well, it's like I said, slivers apart from each other, right? This is such a strong character, and I do believe that we're going to see her more, or I genuinely hope that we do. But so it's do just everything about this character is like, has Steve Rogers energy, and that's why I really liked her being paired up with Captain Carter. I'm like, they have the exact same kind of philosophy of like, not that they say it, but we do not allow people to be oppressed. Yeah. And we don't like bullies and stuff like that. Exactly. So that anytime I see that, and anytime I see like these knocks on colonialism, I'm always a big, big, big fan on. So everything about this episode was great for me.
I did see someone say it would be great to have a what if where they do Namor and Cahorte fighting the Spaniards. And I was like, yes, I would watch
Ooh,
that. Yeah, of
yeah,
course. Thank
absolutely.
you. Thank you for putting that in my mind. Yeah, I would
Yeah,
love that.
that would be good. That would be good.
Number three for me is what if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? The thing that hurt you was the what made me be like, yep, I'm into this. I am totally. And they brought back some stuff from the Black Widow movie, which I am always down to revisit because I truly was locked in with that story. So yeah, bringing back Rachel Weisz, even though I don't remember her name, even though you said it earlier, I was just like, yeah, great. They brought the Red Room out of the sky. I was like, yep, I get that. I get what they're doing. And I really did like that final fight scene in the place where like they're trying to teach you how to be American. I thought like it was all the right amount of like creepy and unsettling, and really went for the heart when it was like, oh no, Steve is still like fucking with you. You did not change him at all.
Very effective. Very effective for stuff. My number three is 1602.
Yep,
I
great.
love this period. I love everything about it. The combination of everything was really, really fun. And just I like that whole aspect that just like Peggy is just gonna do what she does in every kind of situation she's in. She's like, no, I can have a chance to work on peace here. I can save this world. I can do these guys. Like, she's gonna do it, even though and this is what I like that we didn't mention this, but the Watcher really rarely breaks that wall with what his role is in this, in here. It's like,
But he
okay, are
considers
you
as a friend.
intervening? Exactly. And he starts interacting and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so
It's
narrating then. Great.
yes,
Like, move out of my way.
that's a lot of fun too. It like to see that line being crossed about what the Watcher is and how he's starting to become actually a character within and interact with people. I'm like, this is a fun episode. It means a lot to me. And well, it means a lot to the whole thing, but it's a fun thing. And my number two and number one are very personal. So I just like, this is it definitely had a lot of fun here in 1602.
My number two is what if Kahori reshaped the world? Well, I already talked about it. I think it's a great message and great visuals. The only thing for me was like it doesn't really feel like a what if. It feels like they just introduced a new character. So it would have been one if it felt like it was theme, but I'm going on for me, I'm not saying this is the only way to view this, but for me it was like what made the best what if situation for me. And so this was like, well, I hope this isn't a what if. I hope this is just like, hey, we just introduced Kahori to you. So yeah, that's my number two.
Nice. My number two is Strange Supreme. The season, I like that the fact that there was tied up a lot of storylines from season one, tied up a lot of storylines from season two as well. I always love it when they can do that, set that kind of thing up in season one, and then also integrate a lot of season two in. It feels really organic. It feels really, really good, and it helped a lot to be like, yeah, see that they had a plan for this season. This was great. Like, it's really, really great. Instead of having that anxiety of the first one, it's like, do any of these episodes connect in any meaningful capacity? Oh, they do. Now I have to go back and rewatch. Like, it made me much more confident in the ranking of everything in this. But it's Strange Supreme intervening is really, really good, just because all those things that I previously said about Corey and Carter working together, I'm like, this is more of this. Like, these two are wonderful. This
They're
is
great.
great. And I really hope that this, because it really does solidify them, the two of these characters, in such a centralized role that I'm like, I really hope that I get to see them in like Secret Wars or something like that. You know what I
That
mean?
would
Where
be
it's like,
cool.
that could really, really make sense. And just, it would be really, really cool. But we will see what happens.
My number one is what if the Avengers assembled in 1602? I think I already said it. I love Robin Hood. They did a bunch of Robin Hood stuff. They did a bunch of Man in the Iron Mask stuff. Like it's just really weird. I think everyone who showed up that you knew already, I was like, oh yeah, that's a great way to use this person in this setting. It really felt like they truly embraced the what if of it all, of just translating. Again, I understand that they had some kind of a baseline to go off of because there's a Neil Gaiman storyline with this, but I didn't read it, so I didn't have a chance to be disappointed by it. All I could do was be like, this is great.
I'm glad that you really brought that up, because that same applies for me. And the other thing that I forgot to mention about this that I really, really enjoyed was when Bruce Banner's Hulk in 1602 was, you get reminded, oh, this is 1602. They're Elizabethan. So he goes like, Hulk smash thee. And I'm like, that is great. That
Yeah.
is so good.
Also, people get to see him Hulk out again. I feel like that probably helped a lot of people who were hurt about She-Hulk. And he fought the Freak. I thought that was fu a good payoff to the whole Happy Hogan Saves Christmas thing, because it's like, oh no, he's got it here too. And they keep teasing it, and Steve is the one that finally pisses him off enough, and he's like, oh no, let's talk about this. I can't remember who it was, but they're just like, oh, you're on your own. You turned him into that. I'm out.
I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if that was Tony in this, because
I
like
think it was
Tony is
Bucky.
only,
Because
oh
Tony
yeah.
wasn't considered like a fighter in this. He was
No, he
just
was
that
just
he was
the
just there to
tool
like
guy.
create stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love this episode. It truly was right up my alley.
Fair enough. Yeah. This is and my number one is the last one, Ten Rings.
Yeah, that makes
Ten Rings.
sense.
Yeah. I love this episode. And not because obviously for Wenwu, obviously for the Ta Lo side of things and all that kind of stuff. Anytime we spend more to create more of that mythology and see that world a little bit more is really, really cool to me. But no, the deeply personal, like Hela's story breaking out of abuse and all that kind of that it hit me in a way. I was like, this is great. And then you throw in the Odin stuff in there. I'm like, yeah, Odin's a dick. This is exactly why she wants freedom. Like, this is to break through of like the idea of like, wait, because when she goes like, how could you expect me to do different when this is all you've ever shown me how to do? And be like, wait, now I can never get your validation? Like, what's like that complexity? Oh, so
It's
good.
good
So
stuff.
I'm like, this is definitely the episode one for me. And then the final visual of them like all running along and just kind of being like their own little reformed defenders in a little way. That was a cool visual to have in the end of the episode.
It is a great episode. As I said, I love everything from episode 5 on from or my fifth place spot on. So I guess we could just go through it, and I'll say mine, you can say yours. For me, the ranking is in ninth place, Happy Hogan Saves Christmas; in eighth place, Strange Supreme Intervened; in seventh place, Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes; sixth place, Nebula Joined the Nova Corps; fifth place, Hela Found the Ten Rings; fourth place, Iron Man Crashed into the Grandmaster; third place, Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper; second is Kahori Reshaped the World; and first is the Avengers Assembled in 1602.
Nice. And my 9-1 is What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas? At number 9. Number 8 is What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Number 7 is What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps? Number 6 is What If Iron Man Crashed into the Grandmaster? Number 5 is the What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper? Number 4 is What If Kahori Reshaped the World? Number 3 is What If Avengers Assembled in 1602? 2 is What If Strange Supreme Intervened? And number 1 is What If Hela Found the Ten Rings?
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for listening, everybody. We are part of the That Shelf Podcast Network, with other great shows like Bad Gay Movies, Contra Zoom Pod, Springfield, Googleplex. So please go to thatshelf.com to find those shows, our show, and more shows. And if you want to hear older episodes of our show, you can go to the podcast platform of your choice, or tdfeverything.com/spoiledrotten. We are at TDF Spoiled on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. And if you want to email us, our email is spoilpodcast@gmail.com. So please get in touch with us, rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends on the podcast platforms. Just get the word out in general. And we'll see you again next time. Bye bye.
Cheers.
This has been a TDF Everything production, brah.